Podtacular, the unofficial Halo Universe podcast, presents episode 571. Welcome back to the Ark, recorded live on February 28th, 2017. Hello, everyone. Welcome to Podtacular, the unofficial Halo Universe podcast. I am your host, Duststorm.
And I'm your co-host, Godzilla T.
And we are happy to welcome into the fold a brand new Halo game since our last podcast.
Yay! Woo!
Welcome, Halo Wars 2, to the family. And it is kicking my butt. We'll get to that in a little bit. We've been gone for a couple of weeks, primarily because I have been on vacation in Iceland, which was amazing. It will be a while before I get my pictures up because I took 3,000 pictures.
That's a lot of pictures.
That's a lot of pictures. I started going through pictures, so I'm hoping to have them done within the 2 weeks. So hopefully in around the middle of March, I'll have all the pictures done. But everything was fantastic. It was great to see family. It was great to get away from things, but it's nice to be back here and nice to be back with Halo. At least so I thought until I started getting my butt kicked by Banished. Yeah.
They are definitely a difficult opponent.
They really are. I can't imagine, like, do they not have anything better to do with their time than just, like, completely wipe the floor with my bad Halo Wars skills?
That is their one purpose in life, Dust, is to make you feel miserable.
Oh, jeez. So my goal was to play the campaign and get it done by the time this podcast came around. You guys can probably tell by how I'm speaking that did not happen. We will not be talking about everything encompassing campaign today because I haven't finished it yet. But we'll talk about some of the other stuff as far as news goes. And I haven't even touched multiplayer since the beta. I'm slacking. I'm behind. I'm sorry, folks.
I haven't either. I'm having too much fun with the campaign.
I'm glad you're having fun.
Oh, let's put it this way. I'm practicing for my legendary run, which I don't know how well that's going to work. Because doing a legendary run and still being able to get all the bonus objectives might be a little difficult.
Do you have to get the bonus objectives on, like, higher difficulties to unlock certain other elements in the, I guess, Phoenix Log or timeline?
No. Okay. No. You do have to get certain bonus objectives to unlock skulls, but you can do that on any difficulty.
That's what I was thinking. Okay.
But I was thinking more along, you know, the achieving Halo type video.
Ah, gotcha. That might be one of those where you just do legendary on a separate.
Yeah, I mean,
as a separate thing.
The only extra achievement it will get you is, well, depending on if you've completed it on heroic or not, heroic and normal, is just the achievement for completing the game on normal, heroic, and on legendary. So, I mean, one, two achievements extra, you know, if you skip the heroic and the normal playthrough, then yeah, you'll get two extra achievements. So I don't know. I will attempt it and we will see how it's going to work. The first level is going to be really interesting because two of the bonus objectives is one, finish the mission with the Warthog above 50% health and ram 5 grunt squads.
I don't think I've gotten to that mission yet because that doesn't sound familiar.
That is the very first mission you play.
Oh, never mind then.
Now, I'm going to say, yes, you have played that because I actually sat there and watched you play it.
Okay. Well, so that was before I knew there were even bonus objectives to begin with.
I thought about mentioning it in the stream, but I figured, he'll figure it out.
Yeah. So my new objective, and I guess we're kind of going to go on this topic to start with, but the way I'm trying to do the campaign now is just play through on normal, finish on normal, just to kind of get the story aspect. And if I can get stuff, I'll get stuff. Then my second run through will be to get everything unlocked as far as all the special bonuses, objectives, and all that kind of stuff. So the Phoenix Logs, the skulls, all that stuff.
Yeah, that's where I'm at now.
And then my third run through will be doing co-op legendary so I can get legendary out of the way. And then by the time and that's done, then I'll start looking into doing multiplayer and multiplayer with others, because there is no way I should be playing multiplayer by myself. At least I don't think it's very wise if I do.
I will probably play some skirmishes against the AI for a little while before I venture into multiplayer.
So AI I would be good with, but other players, probably not.
Well, it's the one thing I found is I need to develop my build strategies, because you know I need to be able to get my build order down so I can defend against the rush, but still get units out quickly. You know, I've been watching some of the rush videos that people have been putting out.
No, that's Battlefield.
No. Yeah, well, it's in Halo Wars, too.
I know. I was just being
funny. Two. Oh.
Nice. Didn't catch that.
Was it one of the hot ones now is a chopper rush.
Oh, okay.
Which is pretty strong right now. The choppers, for being a scouting unit, they do a lot of damage. They're a lot more powerful this time than they were the first time. But it's not unbeatable. You just have to be prepared for it. It's hard to beat, but with a little planning, you can defend against it. You know, the one downside to rushing is, yeah, you're rushing, you don't get a chance to build a lot of infrastructure. So if that first wave doesn't cripple your opponent, then if you don't do it correctly, you have nothing left to finish them off.
Oh, so you're just kind of left out without any other anything else to back you up.
Right. You know, whenever you're rushing, you have to also be thinking about building for the long game. So, you know, that's those kind of things that, you know, I tend to practice in skirmishes first. You know, I practice, you know, where to send the units on each map and what each map, what kind of vehicles or what kind of combination works the best for my play style, where I can defend, but I can also attack. So it'll take me some time before I go online.
I have a feeling you're probably a little bit better at the whole RTS thing than I am, so it'll probably take me a little bit longer than you. Well, especially with the fact that I haven't even finished the campaign yet. But
yeah, well, you know, you were kind of out of the country at the time, so.
Yeah.
I kind of had a head start on you.
True. I could have been playing beforehand if I actually read my emails. Oh, well.
I wish I got emails like that.
I should have just, like, forwarded. I didn't even see it until I was in Iceland.
Yeah, that's all right. I had to kind of avoid YouTube for a day or so while everybody was putting out their videos showing full campaign runs and all this. I'm like, no, I don't want to see the campaign. I want to experience the campaign.
Avoid the spoilers.
Yes.
Hunt the spoilers. And by hunt, you mean just eradicate them. Well, good. There's a lot of cool stuff I know in the game that we'll get to touch with once we get to that point. But I want to wrap up some of the news that we've missed over the past 2 weeks since we've been off the show. And then we'll kind of wrap around to, I guess, our initial experiences with Halo Wars 2. And we'll lead that into hopefully the podcast we'll do next week, which will get community involvement here back from you guys via email or Twitter or whatever like that. So let's go ahead and jump on into things. So with Halo Wars 2 being out, there's a couple of just basic things I wanted to kind of cover real quick. So the campaign introduces the Spirit of Fire, and they're using Blur again for their cinematics, which look amazing again.
Yes, they definitely knocked it out of the park again.
Just from some of the stuff I've watched, and I haven't watched all the cutscenes yet, obviously, because I'm not through the campaign yet. But the one cutscene where, and I'm hoping this isn't going to go spoiler too much, but we've seen videos of it already out there. I don't think it's really spoiler-ish. But if it is, spoiler warning, minor one at least. The cutscene where Isabel was telling Cutter to run and how raggedy of a ship that he has to fight the Banished. And Cutter was kind of giving the inspirational speech of seeing the crew as a family and seeing the ship as kind of like the last stand against the Banished. that kind of gave me chills. Other than obvious one of Atriox scaring the heck out of the Spartans. But aside from that one, the Cutter inspirational speech, that was just awesome.
I like the way they played that one out. It would have been, it was really a good sum up of what's been going on. You know, I would have preferred a little bit more detail in it, but I mean, they really did a good job for what they did. In, you know, that's story side, so I'm not going to go into that right now. But for an opening cutscene, well, almost opening cutscene, that was really cool. I do like the way they, the actual opening cutscene, where they show kind of the ship waking up and things like that. Although, you know, and this is just a minor thing, from the very beginning, they say that to go into cryo, you had to be naked, but everybody's coming out of their pods dressed. What's going on?
Yeah, that's a good point.
I mean, I know why they did it, because you know, you'd have a whole bunch of blurry spots on the screen, but hey. Anyway. No, it's just something I noticed. I like that they did that. You know, I've heard some people question about that Isabel, previous AI, what was her name? Serena.
Oh, Serena.
And, you know, how could she have known this was coming? And the answer is she didn't. She wrote subroutines to take care of anything she could think up that may have happened, that, or that could have happened. And she wrote one that, to wake the captain when there was something she couldn't handle. And that's the, you know, that's the subroutine that we're hearing when we hear her say something's wrong. You know, it's basically just a pre-recorded message.
And it's like, press one if this is the case, press two if this is the case.
Press one for English. Press, never mind.
Well, and if you think about it, some of the subroutines are probably, could probably be left in such a way that it can interpolate some data, just not a lot. Like, it doesn't necessarily have to be all pre-recorded messages, but it could just be like a small subroutine.
Well, you know, that's what I mean. It's not like pre-recorded messages, you know, like we do nowadays. These are functioning, small, dumb AI that if, you know, they're given a set of criteria and this is what you do if this, you know, if these things happen. Overall, I love the opening scenes. They're great.
They're blur. I mean, what? They're not going to be great.
Well, I mean, they had good writing, excellent execution. You know, best stuff I've seen Blur do yet.
They can the
facial
get
movements are awesome. They have gotten so good at that.
These are the most convincing. Like, Halo 2 anniversary cutscenes were good, really good. But the ones for Halo Wars 2 were even more convincing and looked that much more natural.
I mean, the facial movements are so close to watching an actual human actor speak that if you're not paying close attention, you don't know it's CG. I mean, granted, you know, there's the coloring and things like that, which is getting a lot better. You know, you can tell it's a CG cutscene, but still, just the we've gone from just the lips opening and closing to actual facial movements.
Oh gosh. It is, Halo 1 cutscenes.
Yeah, you get the bop, 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 bop.
To be fair, though, Halo 1 cutscenes were done in-engine.
True.
So what was the first Halo game that we got cutscenes that were animated? That was
Halo Wars.
Halo Wars, right? Yeah.
Right. Halo 3 were in-game. Halo 4, I believe, were in-game as well.
Except for the two bumpers, the one at the beginning and the one at the end.
Right. And then, of course, the terminals. Of course, you had to go to a separate website for that. But.
True. Blur behind cinematics. Spirit of Fire reintroduced. I think we kind of knew about the Spirit of Fire thing. Atriox is a new enemy. The leader of the Banished. If you hadn't heard already. This is something that it seems like every Halo game is the next biggest and greatest thing. But they tout the biggest battlefield of any Halo game being on the Ark. I don't know if that's going to be campaign specifically or multiplayer. Probably campaign.
The multiplayer maps look pretty good size themselves too.
I haven't played on them all yet to know, but could be. I would just figure with campaign there's more potential for moving throughout a map on some of the missions, so that could lead towards a bigger map. But
well, yeah, definitely more ways to get to an objective. There's one of the campaign missions, there are some energy barriers that you have to disable to move forward. Well, you can move around them. You just kind of got to take the long way. So, I mean, you can either go through the barriers or you can go around the barriers. So it's nice that they give you different directions to go. So you can find which way works the best for you. The world does feel a lot bigger in the later levels than it did in the original Halo Wars. And granted, in the original Halo Wars, the levels felt really big as well. But these just seem like they're more spacious, more opportunities for different routes and different points of contest, you know, especially when you start doing the bonus objectives. I love the way they've got the campaign laid out as far as the gameplay. It really gives you the freedom to, you know, mostly freedom to do the campaign the way you want as far as attacking, achieving the goal.
Another thing I like about the campaign too, just judging from how it's been since kind of Halo 1 or Halo Wars 1, and Halo Wars 1 had a little bit of variety in the different modes that you did for campaign, but the different scenarios for Halo Wars 2 so far, I've kind of enjoyed the different take on playing in the RTS and how each mission kind of has its own strategy. Now, like the first few missions were kind of iconic to some of the other missions that we saw in the original Halo Wars, but then some of the later ones were like, okay, this is a little more unique. There's some similarities with previous campaigns, but there's a little unique twist on it. So I'm enjoying that aspect of it, even though I am not doing very well. I enjoy the variety of the scenarios that you're playing through in the campaign.
Yeah, I definitely enjoy the scenarios.
So if anyone's wondering where I actually am on the campaign so far, I'm on the mission with the particle cannon. I don't know what it's called, but the map is called. That's where I am for anyone who is interested on where I might be. And GT's obviously finished.
Yes, I have. A couple of times.
Oh, a couple of times.
Thanks. No, not really. I've only completed it once. Since then, I've been working on my bonus objectives.
So I think the mission's called Hold the Line. So including that one, I have 5 missions to go. So I'm really only just barely past the halfway point of the campaign. And I think I've been playing the campaign for 6-7 hours already on normal.
Yeah, it's quite the campaign.
It is. It really is.
I'm sorry, it's really hard for me to talk about it and not spoil it for Dust.
That's why we'll talk about that in a little more detail next week. So going back to our notes, another thing that they noted was the strategy is a little bit different that they tried to focus on with the campaign of being a hybrid of being action-oriented, but involving the classical tactical elements of RTS gameplay. And I think that's pretty evident so far with what I've played through. Just some of the scenarios where you're kind of going through and there's either some of the missions where there's a lot going on constantly, or there's pockets of a lot of action kind of going on at once. So you always have a little bit of either have the high-paced action-oriented missions, or you have a little bit more of the tactical with pockets of action. So I can definitely see where the action place is coming into play here. And then I'm sure the tactical kind of comes into more of play whenever you're going through Legendary. Tends to be the case.
There are definitely things you learn playing it on lore difficulties that you kind of catalog for Legendary difficulty. I mean, I've already developed, well, for one level in particular, I've developed a strategy, but I don't know if it's going to work on the higher difficulties.
Well, hopefully it does.
I guess I'll find out.
And then finally, Creative Assembly, who was the studio that 343 partnered with to make Halo Wars 2, have it made other notable RTS titles in the Total War series. So we know we're in good hands there. For multiplayer modes that are available in Halo Wars 2, we have Skirmish, which is pretty typical for an RTS multiplayer mode, Strongholds, Domination, Deathmatch, and Blitz. So Blitz being the new shiny thing and Strongholds being kind of a play off of Domination a little bit.
And for those of you that are not familiar with RTSs, Skirmish is custom games. You can play either against other players or you can play against AI.
So let's go on to the first article which is 20 questions on Halo Wars 2.
So
we're not going to go through all 20 questions, but I picked out some of the items from the questions that they addressed from what people had that I thought, okay, this is probably something to note or something people might not be completely aware about, but there's questions in there are like, is this a play anywhere? Are the achievements? Where are the PC's minimum requirements? That kind of stuff, which we've talked about already on the podcast. You can go and find that stuff pretty easy, or it's kind of too lengthy to discuss here. There's some that I pulled out, which I thought would be important to go over, or at least kind of clear the air for our audience. So there's no crossplay. There's been a little bit of community questions on if there was going to be crossplay between PC and Xbox One, and there's not going to be any kind of crossplay, either multiplayer or campaign. Xbox One and 360 controllers are supported on the PC. Sergeant Forge is a free leader that you can get as a bonus DLC type of thing for Halo Wars 2. Whenever you launch the game, you'll see the rightmost option is get Sergeant Forge, so you can, if you haven't already, go grab him as your seventh leader for the game. And there's no reason not to do that because it's free. So go get it. The campaign can be played up to two players for co-op. So you can either play it by yourself or have it in two-player co-op. Skulls can be turned on in multiplayer matches and skirmish, which gives a little bit of new variety to multiplayer matches. So I didn't know that was a thing. That sounds pretty cool, though.
Just remember, if the skull helps you, it helps your opponent, too.
Yes. Versus AI multiplayer modes are available in Deathmatch, Domination, Stronghold, and not Blitz, but Blitz Firefight. So it's kind of the same thing as Blitz in a way, but you have waves of enemies and you're still trying to defend all the Stronghold or the Blitz points, the Stronghold points in Blitz. And once the enemy AI gets up to a certain threshold, then you lose. But it's just going on as long as you can.
Yeah, as you play through it, the difficulty level of the AI keeps climbing.
Yes.
So you start off basically with an easy AI, and you slowly work up to a legendary AI.
It'd be cool for our community. I think I might do this at some point in the not-too-distant future. But it'd be cool to have a little kind of contest to see who could go the longest with Blitz Firefight. Have like a prize for one player, prize for two players, and prize for three players.
Yeah. I've already seen a couple of people on my friends list hit the 25-round mark.
Nice. So I'm being corrected by Bobby, who said that the skulls and skirmish matches was a feature in Halo Wars 1. My bad on that one. Thanks for the correction, Bobby.
Yes, they were.
Underlying skill-based matchmaking is in place. There's no formal ranking system that's visible there as far as having a competitive skill ranking is concerned, but it is something that they are planning on implementing down the line. Some of the reasons they don't have it at launch is because they want to make sure that the social environment is welcoming to more players at the start of the game. They're going to be looking at how well players are playing to get a better target on how they want to tune the competitive skill in there as well. Also, they want to rule out any balancing issues that need to happen for any of the units or leader powers and that kind of stuff. And then they're looking at doing ranked seasons and playlists, similar how they've done with Halo 5 Guardians. So seasons with DLC releases and having different kinds of ranked playlists if they add new modes or that kind of stuff. But we have the four default modes, and there may be, I don't know if they'll split that as in they'll have those four as a social and that those four as a competitive, or how they'll split that up. But any new modes or new features that are going to be adding via DLC might change how they do some of the ranking stuff as well down the line. So no competitive ranking at the moment, but it will be implemented, and everything has a skill-based ranking mechanism in place for matchmaking currently. There are 8 multiplayer maps, and then 1 Blitz map. I'm hoping we get some additional Blitz maps with DLC. I can't imagine them not doing additional Blitz maps in DLC.
I hope so, because that one map's going to get kind of boring after a while.
I mean, I understand how the structure of you need to have the 2 points and have the kind of those 3 points laid out in such a way, but I almost feel like you need something else to create a little bit of variety in the terrain of how those points are laid out. So I'm guessing they'll be getting a new Blitz map as some DLC down the road. And the last thing with the 20 questions is changes that they've made since the betas. First one, they've reduced the Locust and Biofuel Locust DPS, health, and shields, which is good. Talk about the most overpowered unit.
Yeah, those Blood Fuel Locusts were pretty horrendous in the beta.
The most powerful unit, I think, in the beta.
Easily.
The Scarab can now attack units at a closer range. So, what was the Scarab's counter on the units he's at? Was it the Vulture, or it was something else?
Oh, it was the...
what was it called?
The Condor.
Condor. The Scarab and the Condor couldn't actually attack stuff right below it, right? It was both of them?
Well, the Condor could, the Scarab couldn't.
Oh, if that's right.
A unit got too close to the Scarab, it would opt to attack a further unit than one that was right up under it.
So the Scarab can now attack units at a closer range. I'm guessing can means that it will attack units at a closer range instead of targeting ones further out.
If you get your units up underneath the Scarab, it wouldn't attack the units. It's like it was inside its minimum range of fire. Which, I mean, in Halo Wars, the original, the Scarab kind of had that same glitch. If you could get units under its feet, it would kind of stumble around and try to, you know, get the unit in the right spot before it would fire on it.
So it tried to wiggle itself around to where it could get a firing line then?
Right.
Hopefully they fixed that a little bit. They've improved the responsiveness of Blitz card hand inputs. I'm guessing that means being able to select the card more quickly.
Yeah, I'll have to test that.
Improved game performance, which is pretty typical. Improved UI responsiveness, pretty typical. Tightened skill matching to improve match quality of multiplayer games. Improved initial loading times. Bug fixes for card hand and units not responding. Improved voice chat on PC. Improved PC performance, hardware detection, and compatibility. Improved multiplayer network reliability, and lots of additional fixes. So the big ones being the reduced Locust and Biofuel Locust DPS, health, and shields, and the Scarab being able to attack closer units. So those are kind of the big things that I pulled out of the 20 questions that people may or may not have known or would like to be reminded of. If you want to see the rest of the questions, you can head on over to Halo Waypoint and find them there. Moving on to our next little article, there is a Welcome to Halo Wars 2, which they released on February 20th, the day before the game came out for everybody. The early adopters, the ones that bought the Ultimate Edition, got it on the 17th, but everyone else got it on the 21st. But in the article, they mentioned, and I think they probably mentioned this on the live stream, but I haven't watched through the whole thing yet because I was on the plane when it actually happened. But for everyone that has the season pass, there's going to be new content starting in March every third Wednesday of the month. They didn't specify in the article how long that'd be going on for, because I think it was, what was it, 9 or 8 DLCs per month or monthly? 8 months of DLC for Halo 5 Guardians. But I don't remember seeing where they specified how many months this would be going on for the season pass. I'm guessing at least 6 months, maybe 8 months.
I think it's 6 months because they have leader editions and extended campaign DLC as well. So along with multiplayer maps, which the good thing is multiplayer maps are free for everybody.
Yay.
The only thing the season pass gets you is the new leaders and the campaign, the extended campaign.
I'm excited for the extended campaign.
Me too, especially where they left off.
Tease. Such a tease. I have to get this finished this week.
Tease. Halo. Oh.
Thanks. We haven't had a campaign expansion since not technically ODST.
Well, yeah.
Or Spartan
Ops. We haven't really ever had a campaign expansion. I mean, you could count Spartan Ops as a campaign expansion, because it did kind of follow the Halo 4 timeline and, you know, the same characters, or some of the same characters. ODST, yeah, it was supposed to be a campaign expansion, but it turned out to be a full-fledged game.
So I'm excited. Campaign expansion is going to be awesome. And I like how we had the whole, and I didn't catch all of it, but the lore discussion that was happening in our Discord chat before the podcast started.
Yeah, it was truly annoying. I mean, interesting.
We may talk about that later next week on the show.
That will probably have to be its own podcast.
Among many other things.
Let's just say this, people. Rabbit hole.
Alice in Wonderland.
It's a deep one.
So deep that I'm not even down that far. I still got books to read. And I know we need to do a Halsey Journal podcast at some point.
That's the only one I have left to read is the Halsey Journal.
Really? That's funny.
I've got the first 22 pages down.
Nice. That's better than I was 3 months ago. Actually, 2 months ago. Yeah, 2 months. Yeah, 2 months ago.
Yeah.
How about that?
Over the holidays.
All right. Moving on to the next article. Ghost in the Shell Forging Contest. So 343 has partnered with Paramount Pictures to have a forging contest. They're looking for people to create a map based off of a scene and a location in the Ghost in the Shell movie. The scene description is the location is the Lawless Zone, and the date is the very near future. The description of what they're looking for is the battle takes place in a section of the city that was once grand, but it has been neglected for some time. The ground is littered with debris. There's an abandoned car and towering dilapidated buildings are visible in the distance. A gnarled tree rises from the center of what might have been a busy traffic circle. Pillars surround the area and support a circular walkway overpass 30 feet high that frames the arena. The spider tank is formidable, standing 15 to 20 feet high with 6 legs, 2 heavy machine gun turrets. It strikes off gunfire and emerges unexpectedly and ready to do major damage. The major will need to find a way to get close undetected and succeed. So it's basically setting up how the map should look and feel. So the contest opened up on February 22nd, which is when they made the post about it. And it goes on until March 12th. So from when we're recording this podcast, you have 12 days to complete your map submission.
With the scripting engine in Halo 5, they can actually make that spider tank kill you.
There's not a scarab in Forge, is there?
Huh? No, the spider tank.
Yeah, scarab.
That they were talking about, description, they could, you know, you could make a spider tank and it could kill you.
Yeah, scarab. I'm just making the joke that the scarab is kind of a spider tank already.
Yeah, well, it's kind of missing some legs.
I know. Close enough, though. I mean, it looks like a spider tank already.
Well, technically, you could make a scarab in Halo 5.
Yeah, in a way.
And with the latest scripting update, you could make it have a beam.
True. That'd be interesting to see what people come up with for that.
I've already seen somebody make Jackal snipers.
Seriously?
Seriously.
Wow. Okay. I really need to do some searching on YouTube for Forge stuff. Okay. Anyways, there's going to be a panel of judges from different forging communities, 343 and Paramount Pictures, and there's going to be 3 winners that will be selected. The first place winner is going to get a paid trip to the Halo World Championship 2017. That will be March 24th through the 26th, which is sending a book on plane tickets, in Burbank, California. Second place prize is going to be receiving a replica needler by NECA, a Halo Wars 2 Brute Spike Rifle by Boomco, and a Covenant Ghost. I'm assuming that's going to be one by Mattel, the little ghost figure. And then third place is going to be receiving the Athlon and Master Chief customizable Spartans and the Mark IV and Mark V artifacts packs by Kotobukiya.
Cool.
I think they're going to be presenting the map. They're going to be revealing it. Something. I think they're going to do something special with it at the World Championship. I'm not sure what yet, but it has to support at least a Slayer game mode, so I'm wondering if there's going to be some kind of special event where pro teams are going to play on the map.
Oh, that'd be interesting.
I think that'd be cool. I mean, it's tied with HCS.
Make that one of the maps in the final?
I don't know. Well, so there's a line in here that says the winner of this contest will not only have their map played by everyone at the event. So that almost makes it sound like it's going to be a map in the rotation.
Well, it could be then.
So entries are due.
In that case, they probably won't have the spider tank kill you.
Have like an on-map hazard that you have to avoid.
Although that would be interesting.
That would be interesting.
I'm sure the pros wouldn't like it so much.
Oh, come on. Throw a little randomness in there. So if the things are due by March 12th, I wonder if that's enough time to vet a map for playability. I guess it has to be. That only gives them 12 days. Well, with all the planning and stuff, maybe even less than that. Maybe a week to vet the map and ensure that it plays well. If it really is something that's going to be played by all the players. Well, I'm sure as soon as they pick a
winner, they'll start vetting the map.
Well, they have to judge the maps first.
Like I said, as soon as the winner's picked, I'm sure they're going to start vetting the map. It'll probably be close to competition ready. There is probably going to be a glitch in the map somewhere. Because they can't, I don't think they can completely vet a map in that short a period of time.
If it's only going to be played once, though, in the first round of play, then I don't think there's really going to be much time to exploit the maps.
But you have to remember, Halo players are creative players. I've seen guys pull some stuff off that I didn't even know was possible.
That's a good point.
I mean, they will do some vetting on it. They'll make sure there's no obvious campy or obvious advantage spots, things like that. But yeah, it'll probably get played as is.
They might make some few modifications on it just from the standpoint of weapon placement or balance, but see what the pro team says with the map.
Yeah, they'll make sure it has a balance, relatively balanced spawning, weapon placement, things of that nature.
A couple other rules and guidelines that have to be observed. The map must be at a bare minimum supporting the Slayer game mode, has to support 2 to 8 players. It must use the active camo power-up on map pickups or traits, and then the maps will be judged on how closely they recreate the look and feel from the movie based off of the scene description that they give. And you can do this with Xbox One Forge or Halo 5 Forge on PC. Either one works.
Yeah, it's funny, I've been watching some of the Forger streams, and they bounce back and forth. They're forging on PC, but they'll bounce back and forth between using the controller and the keyboard and mouse. It's kind of interesting to watch.
That doesn't surprise me. Just from some of the stuff I've heard with the Forge and how certain things are easier to do with the controller and certain things are easier to do with mouse and keyboard, that doesn't surprise me.
I'm just glad that they had the foresight to make that a possibility.
It's pretty cool, actually, if you think about it. Just to give,
that's one thing about Halo Wars 2 is you can change up how you're playing
right there in the go.
If you get tired of using the controller, want to do the keyboard and mouse, you just grab them and go. You don't have to go into settings and change it over to keyboard and mouse. It just automatically detects which input you're using,
which is so nice.
I haven't tried it in the middle of a campaign level yet, but I know it works in the menus. Well, in the menus, the mouse is so much easier to use.
Yes. I will use... Well, actually, for Halo 5 on Forge on PC, I use the controller pretty much exclusively. I haven't fine-tuned my mouse movement yet to really get that working the way I want it to. And the controller just feels a lot more natural for a first-person shooter anyways. At least for me. With that tangent, going back to our next article, talking about the Mexico City HCS event, which was the first official open Halo LAN for the Halo Championship Series in Latin America. So this happened over the past weekend, and the team shocked the world, made their claim to get invited out to the World Championship, which is happening next month.
Cool.
So congratulations to them on winning out. I think it was kind of like the standard 18 bracket that they streamed for most of the weekend this past weekend. And the Mexican commentators, or I guess Latin American commentators, I don't know if they're Mexican or not, they sounded pretty excited on some of the plays that happened. There were some pretty wicked plays that happened. You can still tell there's some kind of, wouldn't necessarily say rookie because they're pros, obviously, but compared to the North Americans that are playing, there's definitely some, what's the word? Like things that they that they do or they mess up on that you don't see the North American pros doing much of? There's a word for that. I'm blanking on what that word is.
Well, it's polish on the gameplay. The American teams, for one, have been playing the game longer, so they've had more time with learning the ins and outs of the game at a competitive level. What works, what doesn't. You know, I do hope Shock the World is able to come to the event early and get some practice in with these higher level, or, you know, with the American teams, so that they can kind of get a better feel for, you know, how, you know, what they're going up against. You know, is it, what was the team from England that came in last time? And they were great. You know, they were grateful for the time to, you know, they came early and they played against these American teams. And they, even though they, you know, I think they made the top eight, they were really grateful for the time they spent before the competition playing against these teams in practice and learning. Okay. You know, they were learning and say, okay, there's some stuff we really need to work on. There are things that we do that just don't work here. So I hope that all the teams that are coming from outside the United States have the chance to play against the other teams in practice so they can get a better feel on what's going on. And hopefully it will make them go further in the competition.
I think that may have been Enigma 6. You're talking about the team I interviewed last year, right?
I think it's that one.
I think it was Enigma 6. I think you're right, though, with how teams come over and they get to experience how the best players of the franchise play. And one of the things that they mentioned about learning how North Americans play is just how aggressive that they are. So it is a very different play style, but it's something where I'm hopeful that at some point we'll see an international team come into the fray and actually challenge the strategy that North American teams are using and actually make their way into something like how I think it's Enigma 6, made it into the quarterfinals last year. But maybe see some team get all the way up into the semifinals from an international and really start to expand. Because while it's great to see North Americans do well, it's something like, okay, let's see how the rest of the world can actually play Halo well, and let's see them succeed. When you look at StarCraft, you have StarCraft players that's what, mostly Chinese or Japanese or some Far Eastern
Asian
players,
countries
versus like Latin American or North American Anglo-Saxons. Like, there's just no way. But sometimes there have been people from those other regions of the world that have performed really well on the same caliber as the Asians. So it'd just be nice to see something like that in Halo.
You know, I would love to see a European team, you know, team from Latin America, team from England, make it to the finals and, you know, really challenge the American teams on their, you know, on an equal level. Because then it really, you know, that would be a battle I would watch. And I'm not somebody that watches competitive Halo. It's nice to hear that it is out and they're doing well with it, because that in the past has been a big part of Halo, but it's not the aspect that I'm interested in. But I tell you what, if you get a European team up against an American team, I would watch that.
And if you're looking at teams that are pretty evenly matched as far as skill, that would be a really exciting match to watch. Really exciting match to watch.
Because you can pretty much guarantee you would have two totally different play styles going at the same time.
And it would be cool to see which one kind of wins out and pulls in. And even if you see the international team on that level get defeated, it's still something of worthy of noting, is like, they've made it this far. There's no reason they can't make it again.
True.
While we're on the topic of HCS, though, the next event is this weekend. It is the Las Vegas qualifier for the North American teams. Only 6 teams will qualify from this qualifier and will be secured into the finals happening at the end of March. Star lineup of casters, practically every caster on the States side, with the addition also of Sims. So we've got Golden Boy, Strongside, Walshy, Ghost Yami, Alex Toss, T-Squared, and Sims casting. Star lineup of casters for this weekend.
Cool.
And another kind of funny thing, too. Oh, and by the way, there's a FFA that also is taking place on Saturday, March 4th, and it's a $5,000 FFA tournament. Registration fee is $25, so if you're in the Las Vegas area and you're looking to play some Halo and possibly show off your FFA skills, then go sign up. There is an armor set that is banned from play for HCS, believe it or not. The Icarus armor actually has a few issues that make it to where the aiming is not quite as fair with the other ones. So there are some issues that give Spartans who equip that with give them an unfair advantage. The issues are related exclusively to audiovisual effects, but not necessarily related to the hitboxes or actually receiving damage of that nature. It's just how the armor kind of interacts with other visual elements of the game. So it's interesting that there's an armor that's being prohibited.
Yeah, I would wish they would given us a little bit more explanation as to what the actual issue is.
I'm sure if you went in game and looked at it long enough, you might be able to figure out what it is.
Probably, but just tell me. I mean, it doesn't, you know, for the average player, it doesn't mean a hill of beans, but it would be interesting to see or to know what the actual issue is. Maybe I'll just put the Icarus armor on and see what happens. Maybe I'll disappear into walls.
It'd be a new superpower.
Maybe I'll quit dying so much.
Anyways, it's just a random thing that I thought was kind of interesting that there's an official article posted on it. It is what it is. Don't be playing with Icarus, I guess, if you're an HCS player and you happen to be listening.
And they have some stiff penalties if you're caught using it. So
this is true. If you're caught with it, your first offense is going to be you immediately forfeit the game that you're playing unless the game has ended within the first 15 seconds of the game or before the first kill in the flare game has taken place, whichever occurs first. And then the second offense, and this is for the team, if the team is caught with someone using it a second time, the team will immediately forfeit their entire series, aka be knocked out.
Instant loss.
Yeah. Wouldn't make that mistake.
Yeah, I don't think it's worth it.
Not really.
I mean, for the LAN events, it's not a problem because they use a dedicated server for just those LAN events. So they can actually remove the armor from the selections. But you know, the only place it's really a problem is the online tournaments. Because they can't remove the armor from the game, you know, for everybody. Just because there's a competitive edge to it somehow that they don't explain. You know, they can't just take it away from everybody, because the only way they can do that for the HCS, as far as online play, is literally take it away from every person that plays Halo 5.
Take it away now.
So, you know, that's why they have the rules. To me, it seems fair. Don't use the armor.
Yep, pretty fair to me. It was just a little thing I thought was interesting. Posted that last week.
I was actually surprised to see that post come up. I'm like, armor gives somebody an advantage? And I'm sitting racking my brain. How can armor give you an advantage?
It'd be funny if the Fotis armor, like if you had a special melee that you just rammed someone with your helmet and that was deemed an unfair advantage.
I still think they need to make that a thing, that the Fotis armor needs a special assassination.
Just that giant horn.
Or at least the Fotis helmet needs a special animation.
I think it could work.
I think it'd be hilarious.
I think it would be. You probably see some funny machinima coming out of that too. All right, next article.
But you can't stick it. No.
Well, that depends. So before we get on to the latest community update, there's one more article that I wanted to touch on from Halo Waypoint, and that is the Halo Wars 2 public API. They officially announced that a while ago that it was coming, And then Grimbrother One put out an article with a little bit of Q&A, answering some questions into what the API is, what people can expect to do with it. And there's actually some pretty good similarities between the API that currently exists out there for Halo 5. All the documentation and the ways that you get access to the API are very similar, if not the same, in the Halo Wars 2 API. There are some key differences, obviously, with what kind of stats are being tracked and what's being provided. And one of the things that they actually note in the Q&A is the whole metagame aspect of Halo Wars 2 is going to be a lot more prominent than it is in Halo 5 Guardians. So Halo 5, you're looking more at kill KDA ratios, games wins and losses, performance on individual map modes or game modes or maps. Whereas for Halo Wars 2, there might be a little more focus on how skill or strategies work. And for Blitz, you have kind of like different cards that you use and that kind of stuff. So they've noted that there's probably going to be a little more emphasis on that type of information for the Halo Wars 2 data sets that they're going to be offering for people to create apps off of. It's going to look at something that they're thinking that might come out of this is applications that explore different build orders, unit counters, looking at strategies that people use, the efficiencies of decks, Blitz decks, that is, and more stuff like that. But everything else, as far as an API perspective, if you've done stuff with the Halo 5 API before, a lot of the stuff is going to be pretty similar with how you interact with the data and how you get support. All the stuff that's in the developer portal, like the documentation and all that stuff, is pretty similar.
It's going to be interesting to see what kind of apps they come up with.
I'm interested to see an app based off of the Blitz cards and to see what strategies or what decks become kind of the more prevalent decks. I feel that that's where a good corner of the community that's going to be making apps is going to focus their attention on. At least maybe that's what I would do. I don't know if that's actually what will happen, but to me, that seems like a very interesting thing of deck building, because you look at trading card games and how those decks get built. I mean, Pokemon is a perfect example of that. There's tournaments, worldwide tournaments, that are hosted by the Pokemon Company for the trading card game. And it's all about how decks are built. So having that element kind of mixed in with RTS, I think it's going to be interesting to see how people build their decks and see what people lean towards on deck building. So maybe an app will kind of figure out, okay, people that build tank decks with these cards for this leader, or people that are more support deck or more support role will make support decks with these cards. So I think that's an area that may be explored pretty heavily with the stats API. At least that's my two cents on it.
Well, yeah, they'll definitely be looking at unit effectiveness and things like that. So like I said, it's going to be really interesting to see what kind of applications they come up with.
I wish I had more time to actually try making stuff with the APIs, but I just don't have the time. I would like to get back into coding.
I don't have the knowledge, so.
I mean, my degree is in computer science, so I've done coding before, but it's been a long time since I've done some actually decent coding. But last thing before the community update, Bonnie Ross was speaking at the DICE Summit this past week and said that from now on, split screen will always be supported for any of the first-person shooter games. This wasn't necessarily clarified if it was campaign or competitive, but with the huge feedback from the community being the lack of split screen for campaign, I think it may be leaning towards that, but we honestly don't know. She just said that there will be split screen support for first-person shooter games going forward. There's not any qualifiers added to that. But it is something that she mentioned fans having massive feedback about. So it's something that they're going to be going forward with from now on out. So yay for split screen back in Halo, starting with Halo 6. What would you like more? Split screen for campaign or a split screen for multiplayer if you had to pick between the two?
I mean, honestly, multiplayer. You know, for me,
social aspect. That makes sense. Yeah.
Yeah, that's the social. Don't get me wrong. People play campaign socially, too. And, you know, I've played my fair share of co-op campaign, but I do really like playing the campaign with the entire screen, because I like to be able to see the entire field of battle, for lack of a better word. I want to see all the scenery. You know, I don't want to be limited to one point. The only downside to doing that is honestly, if I'm playing split screen, I'm probably playing casually anyway, but to lose the frame rate, because, you know, on the current Xbox, I don't know that it would be able to support 60 FPS on split screen. You know, that is my big thing. The 1080p, yeah, I can live without, but that 60 FPS, oh, it has made playing Halo so much more fun for me.
Well, I'm just thinking back to Halo 3 and Halo Reach Forge maps, and you'd be playing on maps that have the low frame rates because of just how
much crap is on them
and how crazy Forge got with it. But I don't think that the slowdown of frame rate, I mean, look at my favorite game type for Reach, speed.
Well, that is a game that's not, there's not a lot of quick reaction required. Well, at least as far as the people driving the vehicles, you pretty much get them going and then you're just along for the ride.
Right. But
there's very little steering done.
Right. But I think there's like moments where if you drop frames for a couple of seconds because of an explosion, if you're playing split screen, like, yeah, if it's something where you're playing on your own, there shouldn't be any drop frames. But if you're playing split screen, it's kind of an understood thing that you are playing with more graphic intensive requirements needed. And I mean, if you do four player split screen on Halo 2, and then the frame rate drop was there, but you got used to it because you understood that, okay, you're having four different angles being projected and calculated on one console.
And it was annoying as heck then.
But you still had so much fun. Yeah,
you dealt with it, and sometimes it made for some hilarious moments. Don't get me wrong. And, you know, that's why, as far as a local split screen in, you know, a multiplayer type deal, I wouldn't have too much problem with it. I just don't want it to affect when I'm playing by myself. You know, I don't want them to just drop the frame rate across the board. When I'm playing by myself, I want that 60 FPS. If that means I can only have it in 720p, that's fine. I've never had a problem with the fidelity of the picture. It's, you know, just the reaction of the image that I'm seeing. And, you know, now that I've been playing with the 60 FPS for 2 years now, well, three if you count my time in Halo 2 PC, I've really gotten to the point I like it a lot. It makes a big difference. I don't feel that the controls lag. You know, it's like, I know I pulled that trigger. Well, now, yeah, if you pull the trigger, it's going to happen. There's just less question in my mind. And, you know, that's the only thing I would like. You know, as long as they can still deliver the experience that the solo player wants, whether it be a 1080p picture and 60 frames per second, that's great. But don't sacrifice that for the split screen play, because then you'll have another wave of people complaining about, well, where'd my 60 frames per second go?
I think that could be understood. And I think that could be like clearly made.
Well, yeah, the point can be clearly made and it'll be understood, but it doesn't mean, you know, there were people that said the same thing about split screen. Is the 60 FPS as big a deal as losing split screen? Probably not. But will there be a stink made about it? Yes, there will be.
I don't know if we've really discussed this in detail yet on the podcast. I know we had some mentions of it after Halo 5 came out, or as Halo 5 was leading up. But I think, to your point, if you're playing alone, you shouldn't have to suffer from screen rate drop or screen refresh rate drop at all. But if you're playing split screen, it should be understood that there's more likely of a possibility of frame rate dropping then. And I think that's kind of a generally accepted, or at least I would hope that's a generally accepted thing amongst gamers. Is if you're doing split screen, that's a possibility.
That's what I'm saying. You know, if you're playing split screen, yeah, I totally understand. You're going to have degradation in the quality of the picture and the frame rate. just don't make the single player person, the guy that plays by himself on one machine or via Xbox Live, don't lower the quality of his experience just to put in split screen.
Yeah, okay.
You give the game the ability to dynamically change what it needs. You know, when you're in a, you know, a single player, where you're the only person on the Xbox, it goes full bore, 1080p, 60 frames per second. You go into split screen with your buddy on the couch, it drops back to 720p, 30 frames per second. You know, you add more than one person, it does the best it can to maintain that 30 frames per second, which, you know, there'll be times where it'll drop down to 20 or 15 frames per second. You know, if you get a lot of stuff happening on the screen, especially with the quality of Forge maps that are being turned out now, too.
We had a couple of responses from the Twitch chat since I asked them to kind of respond to the question that we said about split screen. And we got two people chiming in. Confal was saying he thinks split screen would be easier on multiplayer since the maps are smaller. But then Pins was like, he says split screen for campaign, but only to have it above, below, not side by side.
Definitely.
For Halo, it has to be.
No more side by side split screen. Oh, God, that sucks.
That was what, Halo 1?
Two.
Wait, two?
Yeah. Halo 1 was above, below. Halo 2 was side by side.
Oh, geez. Oh, man.
Yeah. And then Halo 3 went from top bottom, went back to top and bottom.
Unless you were able to trick that third one, which the two were quads.
And then you had one big one, two little ones.
Yeah.
Well, I think it did the same thing in CE as well, if you had three players.
Oh, gotcha. Wait, I thought you could only call out two players in CE.
No, multiplayer.
Oh, gotcha. Okay.
Yeah, in campaign, you can only do two player. In CE and Halo 2, you could do max two player in campaign. You could have up to four people in multiplayer.
Got it. That's right. Yep. And then there was, you just hooked up a Switch, and then you had four Xboxes with 16 players across all four Xboxes. Oh, the days of university.
And then you always had the kill feed says killed by default.
Oh, good times. Good times.
I seriously thought about changing my gamer tag at one time. Just to change it to default.
Trying to make it default.
You were killed by default.
So good. So good. Well, we're kind of getting along in the podcast here, so I want to get to the last article that we have to talk about, and that is, of course, the latest community update from Mr. Sketch himself. This was posted back on the 23rd, which was last Thursday, and it highlights some of the stuff that we've kind of already talked about, some of the stuff regarding Halo Wars 2 support. There was a day one patch that got pushed out to the consoles that was applied a little bit later on the PC side of the house. There are some patch notes over in the forums that they have provided on some things that they fixed. Some stuff with crashes and errors, some bugs and issues that they fixed in the gameplay, some cosmetic stuff, audio stuff, and then there's some known issues that they have listed out here as well. So if you have some of these, they're going to be fixing it, and there's supposed to be a big update that's going to be coming out this week. If you're looking at some of the known issues, there's a known issue where the game can sometimes free or result in very low frame rate. They're investigating some reports of performance issues with cinematics, mini maps occasionally being unresponsive on PC. There's an occasional infinite loading screen when loading into consecutive missions in co-op. A game can sometimes hang indefinitely when restarting a mission, and the unit balance feedback and assessment is ongoing by the design team. So a lot of that stuff is kind of stuff that they're still looking at, but there are a couple of known issues that if you're running into them, they know about it. And actually looking at the forums, there's a game update that's supposed to be rolling out today for Windows 10. It's the one that's actually was kind of the day one update for the console. So they're actually shooting that one out today. I thought that was already done, but turns out they're doing it today.
I did too.
So that's out today for Windows 10, the day one patch. So they mentioned a little bit about the season pass content in there as well. It's starting next month. It's going to be every third Wednesday of the month. And it's going to include stuff like new leaders. The first one is going to be Consanzo. I don't know if I've run across that in the campaign. Is that a leader from the campaign that you recognize?
Nope.
Okay.
She is not in the campaign yet.
Oh, so maybe DLC campaign. Interesting. The DLC for the season pass is going to be new leaders, including unique units for Blitz and other multiplayer modes, and new campaign missions as part of the Operation Spearbreaker campaign expansion.
Yeah, I'm kind of interested in this expansion DLC campaign.
Me too. Me too. David Futch from Forward and Adon. Hi, David. He's in the chat, and he says she's supposed to be the campaign DLC leader for the UNSC side of things.
Things ought to be interesting.
Yeah. Going down the rest of the update, they mentioned the Halo Wars 2 API, which we just covered. There was a Halo Mega Constructs video that I think Mega Brands actually put out, and it was a little stop motion animation that was done to kind of recreate the trailer or the teaser trailer for Halo Wars 2. It's kind of a build out of some of the units and items that they already have the constructs sets for. So you see like the Spartans fighting the Banished, and then you have vehicles and units being built out in stop motion, and then you have the final kind of standoff between Cutter and Atriox at the very end there. So it is kind of launching into the Halo Wars 2 line of Mega Constructs. And for anyone who doesn't know, Mega Construct is the new brand name for what was Mega Bloks. So that's kicking off that series. And then Mattel also has released at the New York Toy Fair this past week the second wave of their Halo Universe series 6-inch collectors. So it includes Atriox, which is technically 8 inches. I think that's Spartan Douglas, Vale, Master Chief, Buck, a Grunt, and the Arbiter from Halo 5. Oh, it's Spartan Jerome. Sorry. Mattel's releasing a lot of new stuff, actually. A lot of new stuff. The past Halo Wars 2 crate has come and gone, but the Halo Loot, or the Loot Vault, actually has some of the Atriox figures still left. If you go over to podtechalert.com/loot crate, and then look for the Loot Vault, you can go and use code Halo343 to get the crate for only $40. You would have paid a little bit cheaper if you had it from the subscription, but if you're just paying for the crate, you can use the code to get it at $40 flat. During the Halo Live show, they showed off a lot of community stuff. They had community playing there for Blitz that they showed off. They had some community involvement with 405th and showing off some other really cool stuff. And they actually show a piece of artwork on the community update that was a kind of really rainbow-like rendition of Atriox. They say it's now above the kitchen in the hub, which is pretty cool. And it looks really, really pretty, actually. I don't know. What do you think, GT?
It's really cool. I thought it was kind of a neat rendition of Atriox.
So that was cool. I haven't watched all the way through the stream to see if I could have caught it yet, but that was awesome. There's a few little videos that they also highlight out there as well. So there's a 1,000 Suicide Grunts versus one Scarab that looks like one YouTube group put up to see who would win on that one. There's a video covered by Hidden Xperia that covers all of the Halo Wars 2 units. There's another one by Luke the Notable, who gives some tips for Blitz. And then there's a couple other videos on here as well. In the Halo 5 Guardians realm, Assault is being removed from the rotational playlist, and Covey Slayer is going up this week. So I haven't really looked at the feature playlist in a while. It's mostly for me, is Super Fiesta coming? Or at least that's what it is, and now Super Fiesta is here to stay. I hardly even look at the rotational playlist anymore.
That's pretty much what I've been playing. I've been trying to finish up my weapon commendations.
I finished mine a while ago when Super Fiesta was still a rotational playlist. Yeah.
Yeah. I have 4 left. Well, no, maybe I only have 3 left. Spartan Laser, Binary Rifle, B beam rifle, and there is one more. What is it? Suppressor. Or not suppressor. Plasma rifle. Whatever they call it.
Yeah. Storm rifle.
Storm rifle. That's it.
There you go.
The binary rifle is level 4. All the rest of them are level 5. So I'm close.
Yeah. That's good.
And of course, you know, now that I'm working on that, I'm not getting those weapons.
Aww.
Or I get one of those weapons and then, you know, I spawn and get a rocket in the face.
Yeah, there was lots of times when I was trying to get all the weapon combinations finished when Fiesta was a rotational place where I'd go hunting for a specific weapon, and once I found it, I'd try to hold on to it as quick as possible, and if I died, I'd run back there as fast as I could to pick it back up again.
And hope the guy isn't still there with that same rocket launcher.
Yes.
I have to admit, I like the Dying Star. That's really a fun weapon to shoot.
Which one's that one
again? Not as much fun as the Answer, but the Dying Star, it's a light rifle.
Oh, that's right. Okay.
It's a light rifle with explosive rounds.
That one's fun.
That stick to you.
It's like the...
So, I've been really enjoying that one.
Good. How far you got until you got all your weapon combinations finished?
Like I said, I've only got the 4 left. All the rest of them are maxed out.
That's right. Okay. That's right.
Yeah, 3 of them are at level 5, going to max. I think it's... Yeah, it's binary rifle is... I'm about halfway through level 4.
Nice. Making progress. On the Halo World Championship front, we already talked about the Mexico City one, but the London qualifier was the previous weekend, and there's three teams from Europe that will be coming, two of them from the London event, FOB Esports, who I think we saw at Worlds last year, and Supremacy will be making their way to California at the end of March. This past weekend, Australia and New Zealand also had their qualifiers as well. It wasn't broadcast like the Mexican one was, but they should have results from that. I think it's one team is coming from that region as well for the Worlds. Oh, sorry. They did have it apparently streamed on ESL this past weekend. I don't know if that was up on HGS's Twitter, or at least I didn't catch it when I looked through their Twitter account. Before the podcast, but I'll take another look at it. They're introducing some new weapon skins for people making some notable contributions to the Halo community. They have two new ones. One, the first one is the Unicorn Fire skin, and these are all branded with the 343 Industries logo. But this one is going to be awarded to people that get stuff featured in the Halo community update. And then the second one is the Unicorn Ice skin, which is going to be awarded to players who end up playing with or against 343 members during 343 community playdate. So if there's a playdate going on and you get matched up with them, then you'll get that skin as well. So two
awesome
brand new exclusive skins that will be handed out to community members, either if you are featured in the Halo community update or if you play with 343 in their community playdates. Something to note about the fire skin, they're going back through the beginning of this year, starting with that, and they'll retroactively be awarding players who've done something that they've featured, includes community spotlight, play of the week, and any other recognition, such as Forge Creation Zone on Twitter, blah, 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 blah. So if you've been posted on Waypoint at some point in the past, then they're going to likely hand that out to you. I don't know if I'm going to be included in that. Possibly. I don't know. Depends if they include the stuff that we did for Gamers Outreach last year. There's another 343 team spotlight, which of course haven't had a chance to read up at all yet. And the last thing that they mentioned on the community update is Duquesne has finished Forge World in Halo 5 Guardians.
Finally. I mean, yay. I'm glad.
I think he said it took him almost 100 hours of Forge time, right?
That's a big, big map.
Yes, it is.
There's a lot of work done on that map. And he did launch it with, I think, two different race types. Or it's set up for two different race types.
I think it's, either two different race types with an infection mode or two different infection modes with a race mode.
I think it's two race modes and an infection mode.
Okay.
I think he has a standard race on it, and then he has, like, rocket race on it.
I miss Rocket Race.
Rocket Race is fun.
It was. So
was Rocket Hog Race.
Oh, yes. Rocket Race, though, with the mongooses, I think that's just, I don't know. That one to me
playing
was more crazy just because of how lightweight the mongooses were, and I guess for reaching how the physics interacted with it.
Oh, yeah, you can get those mongooses really spinning.
You could say it's a blast.
We managed to get a warthog or a rocket hog stuck in the map.
Wow.
In Forge World.
Like Reach Forge World, or are you talking about this?
In Reach Forge World.
Oh, gosh. Did it legitimately get stuck, or did you fall through?
Well, we didn't fall through completely, just like the nose of the warthog did.
So it got wedged. Yep. In there. Oh, dang.
So the hog is sitting there stuck in the map, and of course the way they have it set up is if you get out, once you're out for so many seconds, it'll automatically put you back in.
Oh, no. Oh, that sucks. And are they indestructible?
They have to be.
Well, I thought there was something where it's like they're indestructible if someone's in there because it like inherits the trait, or if like there's no one in there, it's not indestructible. I couldn't remember if that was the thing in Breach.
Well, we couldn't be out of the hog card long enough to do any damage or enough to destroy it.
Yeah, that would suck.
We were so dumbfounded by it anyway, the game was over before.
Oh.
But wow. It was funny. We just flat stuck.
Did you record it or save the film?
I think it should still be up on my Reach file share, but I haven't looked, so I don't know.
That would be cool to watch.
Maybe I'll fire up Reach and find out if it's still there.
Yeah, do it.
Maybe I'll record do a recording on that and put that up on my YouTube.
That'd be cool. So, quick question. Are you going to be doing Blitz Pack videos like you were doing the Halo 5 Rec Packs on your channel?
I did one.
Oh, you did? I missed it.
I did do one, but that was more to just kind of show people what you can get on a campaign playthrough.
Okay.
Because I went through the entire campaign on easy. I didn't complete every objective or anything. And I got like, how many packs did I have? I had a bunch.
Yeah, I got 17 in my first sitting of campaign. Well, in addition to ones I got, I guess, for bonus packs or whatever.
Yeah, I don't remember. I got 33 packs.
Wow.
In one campaign playthrough. You know, that also counts my packs that I got from the Blitz beta and stuff like that. So,
still, that's pretty good.
I think that's a total of 4 packs that I got from Blitz. And, you know, completing the achievements on the original Halo Wars. I never did get those done on the Definitive Edition.
I need to go back and get them. Hopefully, there's something where if you get the achievement now, it'll still count towards getting those extra packs. Hopefully.
But yeah, I did, let's see, when did I post that video? I posted that video last Tuesday, I think it was.
Okay, I'll have to go find it.
Yeah, on the 21st.
Okie dokie. Well, that's going to wrap up our podcast tonight, but we want to hear from you guys. We want to hear what you have to say about Halo Wars 2, what your experiences have been so far, what cool stories you have from campaign run-throughs or multiplayer that you've done so far, and we may even give away some more Prima guides that we have left over.
Ooh, more free stuff.
Yeah. So reach out to us either via our email, which is submissions@podtacular.com, or reach out to us on Twitter or Facebook, podtacular.com/Twitter, podtacular.com/Facebook, and let us know what you think of Halo Wars 2 so far. Give us a fun story or a funny moment that you've had, your opinions on any aspect of the game, and you'll be entered to win a Prima guide. I think we'll give away a physical and an electronic copy.
An electric copy?
Yeah.
Is that like electric guitar or?
It's like my mouth doesn't work.
Ah.
Yes. We will be giving away a physical copy and electronic copy. And all you have to do is let us know what you think. Again, you can either send it to submissions@podtacular.com. Let us know over Twitter or over our Facebook page. And we'll read those out on the show as well. And if you get read out, then you'll have a chance to win one of those guides. Speaking of social media, make sure you follow us over on our social channels. We are on Twitter and Facebook, like we mentioned before. We're also on YouTube, Instagram, and Twitch. We stream on Twitch on Tuesday nights for our podcast starting at 9 o'clock. And then we also stream on Fridays where GT hosts our customs or our community game night. I've been streaming my Halo Wars 2 campaign gameplay lately as well. So I will be continuing to stream that until I beat the campaign. And I will probably continue to stream it until I get all the collectibles for the bonus Phoenix Lock stuff. So there'll be plenty of Halo Wars 2 streaming from my end, at least from the campaign perspective.
Also keep an eye on my channel because I will be streaming it as well.
Yes. So keep an eye out on our channel here centrally, podtacular.com/Twitch. And then once I'm done with the campaign, I'll probably switch over to my personal channel for Twitch. So I am at Duststorm Pettigrew. I think, GT, you're Godzilla T, right?
Yeah, I'm Godzilla T. All one word, no space.
Likewise for me.
Although now that Twitch will let you change your username, I might change it.
Do they allow spaces?
Probably not. But I think you've got your channel set up to auto-host on Podtacular, don't you?
I believe I do. I have to double check on that. I think I do. I don't honestly remember. Congratulations, Liquid Smoke. He said he just finished the campaign on Legendary. And he got the Lone Wolf
achievement. Cool.
Very nice. Laird is right behind you, I think. Very cool indeed. So make sure you check us out on all our social networks again. Also, make sure you check out our podcast network. We are part of the podcast.net, and that is podcast with a K. It includes gaming-specific podcasts such as Critcast, Guardian Radio, which just turned 4 years old 2 weeks ago and recorded their 200th episode yesterday.
Yay!
Congratulations to... Actually, I think it was 4 years last week, but congratulations to Guardian Radio for hitting 200 episodes and 4 years. That's awesome.
Definitely.
I remember when we were 4 years old and 200 episodes.
I don't.
That was a long time ago. I was still in college. But huge shout outs to them. Huge congrats to them. You can go find them over at Guardians of D on Twitter or Guardians of Destiny or theguardiansofdestiny.com, I believe is their website. Go over and congratulate them on 200 episodes and 4 years of podcasting. Other podcasts on the network also include The Learning Cliff and Podcast 76. There's also Work in Progress and How to Murder Time. You can find them over at thepodcast.com or for short, podka.st, and let them know that we sent you. Again, we're looking for your feedback next week on the podcast. So again, send a note over to submissions@podtacular.com or hit us up on Twitter or Facebook and let us know what you think of Halo 5 or not Halo 5, Halo Wars 2 so far, either with a story from funny gameplay or really awesome moments or any particular piece that you like about the campaign, game mechanics, all that stuff. Anything Halo Wars 2 related, let us know. We'll read it on the show and we'll give out some Prima guides for Halo Wars 2. That's going to wrap it up for us this week. Thank you everyone for tuning in and bearing with us as I was on vacation. It's great to be back in the hot seat. Hopefully we'll be making some good changes to make things a little bit smoother here on the podcast. But until then, we will talk to you later. Keep on fragging the Banished.